Hi. So I am so excited. I get to introduce your speaker today. And they gave me notes, and I'm not going to use them because I'm going to tell you all the good stuff. So she's my very best friend, one of my very best friends. I'm super excited about this. Amy Kavnis. So I can, yes, who did that? Was it you, Brittany? Did you do that? No, it seems like something you would do. So Amy, let me tell you about the nitty gritty for Amy. She and Bill have been married for 28 years just last week. They have three wonderful adult children. They are all almost fully launched. Allie is married and out of the house and off their payroll. Will is in art school doing amazing things in Savannah. JD's going to be like one of those people one day that you're like, ooh, I knew that kid. And now he's like the CEO of some major like company. So JD he's still going to Grand Canyon. He's living with his friends. He hunts, he fishes, he does all that kind of manly outdoor stuff. So they have these amazing kids because they've been super intentional about just loving their kids well and knowing their kids well. And their kids all still talk to them. So you're really going to want to hear what she has to say about being a mom today. But I'm going to give you just a little bit more information. She went to Baylor, but sometimes she roots for Stanford because her nephew went there, so you can never tell who she's going to be on the side of. She doesn't like Arizona State, but I don't let it get in between of our relationship. I still love her. She is a former social worker, so she would like to do nothing more but to fix you, but actually the thing that she would like to do more than that is actually encourage you. She is one of my favorite, if not my very favorite, encourager of moms. She was one of my very first teachers who helped me understand what my purpose of a mom as being a mom was, and to this day she's still one of my very favorites. And here's like a little thing that I'll just tell you: she struggles with getting idioms expressed correctly. So that's just a little secret that I'll share with you. For example, instead of saying the elephant in the room, Amy likes to say the white elephant on the table. So sometimes you won't know what she's talking about, but just kind of, it's just a little thing she has. But I won't tell any more of your secret names, so you can come on up and talk to them.
That's not nice. Oh, that's funny. That's very, very true. I always said the white elephant on the table, and so people would look at me like, is it white? And why is it on the table? And I'm like, I don't know. Is it not white? No, that's a white elephant. Gift exchange. So this is quite tall. It's almost made for my son-in-law, who's 6'7", that you saw in the picture. Someone just turned around and asked me, how tall is he? Now, our family, we don't create tall people. We create short people. And our daughter's 5'2", but she decided to marry someone that was 6'7", taking all you six-footers women out of the room, making them angry at her. Literally, people said things to me about it. She's 5'2". How can she marry a 6'7" guy? That all those 6-foot women out there are super upset at her. And I'm like, I don't know what to do for you. I'm so sorry. We just make them small. We don't know how to make them any bigger. So super excited to be with you today. Sonia said, we met at Homemakers by Choice, a Bible study that was around years and years ago. Now it's called Modern Homemakers, and it's a podcast. And basically, it was there that I really found my purpose as a mom. I had a great mom, just so you know. I have a twin brother. We had a great life. It was wonderful. But when I got married, I don't know if you're like me, I realize most people aren't. But when I got married, I thought that all these things just happened, like it all came together, and you understood what you were supposed to do. And so I became a wife. I said yes to Bill, and I was super excited to go walk down the aisle. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. Did you all know? I feel like you guys talk about it more. Like, we meet with people for premarital counseling, and you guys talk about, I'm going to take my earring out because it's hitting. they talk about everything. You guys talk about everything. Bill and I talked about nothing. We just gazed at each other lovingly. And then we walked down the aisle. And so we said yes. I said yes to this wonderful man. And then we decided to have kids. And I said yes to that. And I had three beautiful children, Allie, JD, and Will. And when I had my third child, I was overwhelmed. Kia, which one did you just have, your fourth or fifth or tenth? Five. Kia's here today, and she had her fifth child 2 days ago, I think. No. But I was overwhelmed with three. And Bill was working full-time in construction, and he was out of town, And I was really angry at him for being out of town and leaving me with these children that, by the way, I chose to have. And so I, one day I took the kids to Chuck E. Cheese with my mom and my sister-in-law, and JD, who was 2 at the time, jumped in the balls and he broke his little ankle. Yeah, I know, he was so cute if he was up there. Anyway, and he was a fat little chunky kid, so he was super cute, and big blue eyes. And I kept setting him back up because I didn't know what was wrong with him. JD, are you okay? And he would fall down to the ground, and I'd, are you okay? And he'd fall down to the ground, and yeah, I'm that mom. And he was crying and couldn't tell me what was wrong, but he looked fine, I'm feeling him. Okay, so I take him to the hospital because clearly there's something wrong, he can't walk, and lo and behold, he's got a broken ankle. So I take these kids home, roll them into the house, get them all napping, left the garage door open, my house is in shambles, and my mentor walks in my garage door as I'm napping on the couch. Yoo-hoo, Amy! And I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, help me. Come now and take me. And she comes in and says to me, are you okay? I hear you're not okay. I'm like, no, I'm not okay. So mad at Bill. So mad that I'm a stay-at-home mom. What was I thinking? Why did I do this? Anyone been there? Yes. And she said very wise words to me. And they may not seem wise to you at all, but for me, it hit me. What are you going to be doing in 5 years when Will is 5 and in school? And I was like, I don't know. What are you going to be doing in 10 years? I don't know. What are you going to be doing in 20 years? I don't know. It is 20 now. Guess what I'm doing? Whatever I want. And that was her point. I had choices. I had choices. Bill didn't have choices. You know what she said? What's Bill going to be doing in 5 years? What's Bill going to be doing in 10 years? What's Bill going to be doing in 20 years? Guess what he's doing? He's working. He's working. He's working. He's providing for our family. But I could choose. I could choose to stay at home with my kids, or I could choose to go to work. I had choices. My husband didn't really have choices, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Oh my goodness, I didn't realize. I chose this, actually. And God chose this, more importantly, God chose this for me. He said, here, you get to do this. And all of a sudden, it was this heart change, not just a head change, it was a heart change. I get to do this. I don't have to do this. I get to do this. I get to be a wife to Bill. I get to be a mother to these 3 children. I get to be a stay-at-home mom. I get to be a homeroom mom. I get to be all of these things that I hadn't even thought of. I just thought, what was I thinking? And all of a sudden, my heart changed for this job that I had been so bitter and resentful about. That night, Bill drove home from Tucson. He was working in Tucson. And he walked in the door expecting me to attack him verbally. Not physically, I'm not that ugly. But my verbal attacks can be ugly. I can be very mean. And he walked in the door and I said, I'm so sorry. I'm just so sorry. Now, mind you, we didn't have cell phones, did we, in 99? Did he have a cell phone? Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, he might have had a cell phone. Either way, he drove all the way home that night, got home about after work, about 7 or 8 that night. I said, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. I can do this, honey. I can do this. Trust me. I'm okay. I can do this job. We live in a cookie-cutter neighborhood. He walked back out the door. He thought he had come in the wrong house. Well, who are you? Who is this woman? And I thought, I am so sorry. I am going to do this, and I'm going to do this with vigor. I'm going to do this to the best of my ability. And so I started to look at the scripture. What does God say about a woman, wife, and a mother? Does he have anything to say about it? He does. And in Proverbs 31, and I'm sure many of you are aware of this book, it's written by a mom to her son, who's a king, and she says, this is what you should be looking for. This is what you should be looking for. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gate. And I thought, this is what God had designed for us. This is what he had designed for me. I made the choice to marry Bill. First, I made the choice to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, which guided and directed me and still does today. With I don't know how I would raise children without a relationship with Jesus Christ, because it takes a lot of prayer and trust in the Lord that he's actually working in their lives. And then I said yes to Bill. And how do you stay married? That doesn't make sense, right? Half the time you're like, what the heck was I thinking? You roll over and you're like, dude, really? And wait till it's been 28 years and their hair is gone and they're snoring, and I'm sure he has nothing bad to say about me. And then you have these three kids, or four, or five, or two, whatever it is that the Lord has blessed you with. And they're a gift. They're a gift. And I wanted to do this well. And so I wanted to be a woman of integrity. I wanted to have character in my home. That's what the first thing is here. An excellent woman is hard to find. She has character. She's trustworthy. Her husband's heart trusts in her. He can come home, to this safe place, and be okay. You will give him wise words. You will enfold him in this home. It's a place that he can say, my boss is a jerk. I don't like him. How am I going to move? Or I don't like her, whatever the case may be. How do I move on? And you can give him wise advice. She's not afraid of hard work. She's not afraid of hard work. How many of you are getting up before your kids and going to bed after them and after your husband? That's what I did for years and years. Bill went to bed early because he was in construction. And so I tell the story a lot that what I did a lot of times was he went to bed at 8, and I was so grateful for that time, you know, from 8 to 10 or 11 or whatever time I wanted to be up till and do whatever I wanted to do. And really, I watched I Love Lucy, which tells you a little bit about me. But I was so thankful for that time, but I also had to make time for Bill. It was important for Bill and I to have some time together. So don't be afraid of the hard work that you have to do every single day. The other thing I told Bill when we talked about this, we laugh about it because he was in construction, like I said. He's now the marriage pastor, men's and marriage pastor. But he would go to work every day and build something. I don't know, build something. He asked me, what is it like for you to be at home? And I was like, well, it's like you going to work and building this thing, and you walk away at the end of the day and you're like, that's good, okay, great. And then coming back and it's completely shattered, right? It's my everyday. Every morning I get up, I do the same things. I make them breakfast, I make them snacks, I make them lunch, I make them dinner. I make you dinner, we sit at the table, they make a mess, I clean up the mess, they make a mess, I clean up the mess, I make the okay, right? Laundry, 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 laundry. I can't imagine, Kia, how much, I do know, because you Instagram it. So I actually know how much laundry you have. I want to help you, but not really. that was my everyday. I just felt like I was doing the same things over and over and over and over. And I could never see the finished product. I see the finished product. They're 20, 22, and 24. I see their finished product. They're not finished. They got a long way to go. I don't know if JD will be a CEO, but he's cute. I don't know what they'll be, but I know the Lord's working in their life, and I've taken the time and the hard work that it took to be in their life. They were never an inconvenience to me. They were never an inconvenience to me. I wanted them in my life, and the reason I say that is because if they're an inconvenience to you now, They will know that, and they will not have a relationship with you later. Why would they? So don't be afraid of hard work. She considers the field and buys it. She's determined. She's ready. She puts her hand to the distaff. She gives openly to other people. She's generous. She's a generous woman. I see that with a lot of you. You have so many women in here that are having babies. There's so many surgeries, Tracy. And people are handing her meals, taking meals to her. This is what we should do. Be generous with your time, with your energy, with your money. She was generous. She is not afraid of snow. She's confident in the future. She's not afraid of the future. She knows what's ahead. She knows how to deal with whatever is ahead because she has a relationship with Jesus Christ and she trusts in him. It's not always going to be easy. It wasn't always easy. My kids were not always easy. It's so much easier when they're little, when they're like, you know, following you along. And I used to say, come on, little ducks, and they would follow me. And then all of a sudden they started zooming out in front of me and then they started driving and then you never see them again. They drive off and you're just like, oh my, I hope they make it home. And you're laying in bed praying that they make it home. And they do. And they come back. But it's different. You don't know what they're doing all the time. You cannot be with them. I don't care if you have that 360 phone thing on your. It doesn't tell if they're making out in the back seat of the car, if they're smoking weed. It doesn't tell you that. I know, they'll come up with it, but don't worry. They don't have it yet. But that's where your trust in Jesus comes in. Your relationship with Jesus Christ comes in then. That's when you trust. Like, have I said, have I done, have we mirrored for them Christ? Now they're making their own choices. But all of that takes time. Time and training. She's wise. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. One of the things I learned long ago watching someone else, she had four kids and they all spoke really kindly to each other. And I didn't have any kids at that point. I was working as a social worker. You'd think this would be like 101 as a social worker, but it wasn't for me. And I said to her, they all spoke so sweetly to each other. Hey, do you want to play tag in the pool with me, please? Would you please like to, could I get you a cookie? I'll have a cookie and you have a cookie. And I'm thinking, who are these kids? And I said, what did you do to have them speak so kindly and respectfully to you and to each other? And she said, I spoke kindly to them. I was respectful to them. You're a yeller. Your kids are going to be a yeller. You're chaotic. Your kids are going to be chaotic. An unruly mother raises unruly children. So I realized what I needed to do was speak kindly to my children. I did yell if they were standing here, and they're not, thank God. But if they were, of course I yelled. Of course I lost my temper. Of course, all of those things. But for the most part, I tried really hard to speak kindly to them. Hey, Judy, will you pick up your clothes, please? Hey, Allie, will you please do this? Hey, will you go do this, please? I spoke kindly to them. And then the words of wisdom were hopefully on my tongue. But that comes from a knowledge and a relationship with Jesus Christ. I am not wise in my own power. I have nothing to say to them that is of worth or value that does not come from my relationship with Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, and I tell my girls and grace-based women, you have to have first a relationship with Jesus, and second, you got to be reading your Bible. You got to know what his word says to know how to teach and train your kids. In Deuteronomy, it talks about teaching and training your kids by the wayside as they're walking, as they're sitting, as they're talking, whatever you're doing is what it means to be training and teaching constantly. And I know that's hard. You're walking through Target and you're teaching and training. You're walking through whatever place you are at Christmas. You're sitting at tables. You're teaching them how to sit at a table and how to eat. Those are hard. It's helpful when they go on their first date and they actually know what they're doing. That's good. I saw this little family, Bill and I went out to the Henry one night for dinner not too long ago. And I like the Henry, but I think it's overpriced. I hope nobody's in here that owns it. super cute. It's like walking into Anthropology. It smells good, so I want all the clothes, right? No? Nobody else? Okay. The Henry's the same way. It's super pretty, so I just want to go there and sit and eat. So anyway, we're sitting there eating, and this cute family walks in with two little boys that are probably 3 and 5, maybe 2 and 4, 3 and 5 probably. And they sit down at the table, and the four of them sit. Now, I'm not judging you when you take out your tablets and your phones. I'm really not. But I couldn't because I probably would do it if I had kids at that point, if I had that. This family sat at the table with these two little boys in intense conversation. So what do you think about this? And what do you think about this? And what do you think about that tree? La, 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 all through the meal, talking to their kids. They didn't look at their phones. They didn't hand them their phones. They didn't hand them a tablet. They talked. Now, how hard was that? Hard. I'm sure it was hard. I'm sure that's, they probably wanted a date night. They probably wanted some time to back up and like sit. It was a Friday night, kind of come back together. But they chose to sit and talk with their kids. And that takes energy and time. I was really impressed with them, and I was about to say something, but then the waiter came up and kind of blew it, so I couldn't say anything. But that took a lot of energy and effort, and I was really impressed with that. She's worthy of praise. You know, it says here that many, that her children will rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he will praise her. That's not why we do the things we do. It's not. Because some maybe they won't, or maybe it'll take them longer. But everything you do is unto the Lord. Like, one day you have to answer to the Lord. Every knee and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, regardless of what you believe. That's what will happen. It says that in the scripture. And at that point, you have to answer for all that you did with what you were given. And you were given a family. You were given a husband and kids. That's what you were given. So not only will you have to answer to that, but then one day your kids, who are now 20, 22, and 24, will say, "Thank you, Mom, for making dinner. Thank you for having table time with us. My kids went off to college, and all of a sudden they realized not everybody lived that way. That wasn't what everybody else's family was doing. And they would call me and say, oh my goodness, this family is so da da da, and they would tell me all these different stories, and it broke my heart. But on the other side of it, what they were saying to me was, oh, I'm so grateful for what you guys did for us. Who knew? I never thought in a million years they would say thank you. But guess what? It pays off. It does pay off, I promise you. And then your family is your most important ministry. And I think we forget that. Strong, competent women that you are, and you're educated. I think Donna used to say this to us. We were the most educated women of that time. Well, I'm 51. Guess how much more educated you guys are than I am. You are the most educated women. You have so many choices, so many things you can do. You're competent people. You can do so many things, but your family is your first priority and has to be your first priority. It's the first place of ministry. It's your first place of ministry. And let me just remind you of what God says in the scripture, what he did with families. He used the family to start so many different things. Throughout the Bible, in fact, we can see that God typically does his transforming work from the inside out. He tends to work from the simple to the complex, from the particular to the general, from inner to outer, from small to large, from human hearts to individual families to chosen peoples, and then to all the world. To create the human race, he started with a single man and woman, Adam and Eve. To renew the earth after the flood, he used a family, that of Noah. To set aside a people to bless the rest of the world, he began with Abraham and Sarah. To redeem humanity once and for all, he started with a baby in a manger, and before that, a young girl who said yes. To spread the news of his kingdom, Jesus started with an inner circle of 12, whom he loved and trained for 3 years before sending them out into the world. To change the world after his resurrection, he sent his spirit to a little group of terrified Christians. So here's the truth to engrave on your heart as you live your life in this holy ground, your home. Your mansion is your ministry. It is holy ground, a sacred place, the inner circle where God wants to begin his transforming, redeeming work in your life and the life of others. Your family is your most important ministry. It's the place where your kids will learn what Jesus looks like. It's the place where you will mirror for them what relationship and godly marriage looks like. The most important thing you do is to be a wife and a mother to your family and to oversee your home. Anything else, anyone else can do. Think about it. You're the only woman that can be the wife to your husband. Sometimes you'd like to give him to someone else, and maybe he'd like to give you away too. But you are the only wife to your husband. I'm the only one that can be Bill's wife. I'm the only mother to Allie, JD, and Will. You are the only mother to your kids. There are many people that can make the food, put the ministry together, volunteer at this, greet at the door, do the communion, whatever those things are that you're volunteering and doing, the homeroom mom, all of those things, someone else can actually do those things. And when I realized how important this ministry was, that this was my first and foremost ministry, then I thought long and hard about the things I did next. What was I going to say yes to and no to? Choose wisely. It's a very short season in your life that you have with your children. I'm on the other side of it. I know how short it is. Most of your table mentor leaders know how short this time is, how important it is. So I encourage you today to choose wisely. Make 2020 the year that you say, I am going to be a wife and mother and overseer of my home with vigor. I'm going to do this job like I'm getting paid $1 million. And I'm going to do it as of unto the Lord, not to just myself. And so today, as you look at your table, there's a sketch on the table of a house sketch. And really what I wanted you to do is to just take some time to sit and look at your table, look at this house, and draw, write words, whatever it is. I'm not an artist. I don't know how to draw. I'm horrible at drawing, but I can write words. I know what I wanted my home to look like. I know what I wanted it to feel like. I wanted my house to be a safe place for my family. I wanted them to be able to express their feelings and emotions. I wanted them to relax. All of those things were important to me. You're the thermostat of your home. So spend some time this morning making a vision of what you want your home to look like. And when you lose sight, when you forget what your point is in life, what your purpose is in life, go back to that picture. Go back to that picture and remind yourself how important you are to your husband, to your kids, to your home. You are important and you matter. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time with these ladies, Lord. I really just pray that there will be a heart change, Lord, that you will prick and motivate and move them to know how important they are, Lord, how important these people, these little people in their lives are, and this big man that's in their life, Lord, how important you are. These women buoy them, they encourage, they are cheerleaders, they are wisdom speakers, they are truth speakers, Lord, they are trainers, they're more than just cooks and cleaners, Lord. They're so much more. So I ask you, Lord, to just move them and motivate them to be the Proverbs 31 woman that you want us to be, Lord. And I pray that they'll put their trust in you, Lord, and that they will just continue to build their relationship with you. In your name, amen.